So I was thinking this week that with every single baby that's ever been born, there is one question that is always asked within minutes of their birth. As the grandparents and the family come into the room to meet this new individual, as the friends who are in town come to meet this new baby, they all stand over this newly born infant, only minutes old, and they ask this one question: who do they look like? Now, let's be honest up front. That question has always plagued me because they all look like little squishy aliens. They don't look like anybody. They all look little and squishy. But somehow, even with all the pink and slime and everything going on, you still see some of those characteristics starting to come through. You see, wow, they have mom's nose. They have dad's eyes. They have grandpa's chin. You look at these little tiny infants, you say they look like their parents and their family in some little small ways. And then as they get older, those features start to sharpen. And over time you say, yeah, this kid definitely looks like their mom. This kid definitely looks like their dad. When my dad turned 40, which was more years ago than he would care to admit, his sisters put his picture in the local paper with the Lordy Lordy Dale is 40. And it's kind of worn. He still has it. He sent me a picture this week. And so they put this in the paper when he turned 40. And as a kid, I looked at this picture and I was very confused. Why my aunts would choose to put a picture of me in the paper for my dad's birthday. But I knew there was something wrong with that because I don't think there's a single picture of me by myself as a child because my twin brother was always right there. And so dad took this newspaper clipping and he held it up to a picture of me when I was about the same age. And I think we have that picture here. I cropped my brother out of it, by the way. He didn't need to be seen. But when you, and it's a little hard with the newspaper clipping now because it's so worn, but dad carried these two pictures in his wallet for years to show people, wow, look, Jan and I look exactly the same at this age. There was no denying that I belong to my father. And now I know today what I'll look like when I'm pushing 60. But it's interesting because I can look at my dad and we can look at pictures when we were the same age and say we definitely belong to each other. And then it's fun on this side of being a parent to look at Alan. And there's a picture of Alan last weekend. I know it's kind of hard to see on the screen, but he definitely looks like my son. And he definitely looks like he belongs to my father. And it's fun to look at these pictures and say, yes, we belong to each other. We are part of the same family. But even more than just physical appearance, there's the mannerisms as well. If you spend any time with my dad and I, you will quickly note that we have very similar mannerisms. The way we stand, the way we talk, our hand gestures, everything about us physically resembles one another. And so there's no doubt in my mind, and in the doubt of anyone's mind, that I am part of my dad's family. And this is what we do with almost every kid ever born. We say, who do they look like? And when you look at my dad, and you look at me, and you look at Alan, you say, they are part of one family. As we ended last week in Colossians, where we've been all summer, Paul was telling us that we are new in Christ. That when God looks at us, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. If you are in Christ, if you accepted Jesus as your Savior, then when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. When people look at me, they see my dad. When they look at Alan, they see me. When people look at you, they oftentimes will see your parents. Or perhaps they see the mannerisms and traits of the people you've had mentor you through the years. When people look at you, they see these individuals who have influenced you. And then we each have to make the choice. Do we embrace these comparisons or do we push them off? Do I want to be known as an image of my father? Does Alan want to be known as an image of his dad? Do you want to be compared to your family? And we have to choose, do we want to embrace these comparisons or do we want to try to push them off? Paul says that we are new in Christ. This has been his ongoing thought for the last several verses. You are new in Christ. You take off the old self and you put on the new. Over the last several weeks, he's been building up on this idea that we are putting on the new self in Christ. And I think the question is, where do we go from there? Paul says, put on this new self, be new in Jesus. Last week, he encouraged us to get rid of any of the old stuff lingering from our old lives. We talked about kind of this idea of what did you bring in your spiritual baggage? What things did you bring with you in Christ that you probably should have left behind? And then get rid of these things. But that's only the first step. Because anytime you take something off, anytime you get rid of something, something has to be used to replace it. If I get rid of all this old stuff from my old life, what is filling in those voids? What's replacing those things? Paul says, you've taken off the old life and you've put on the new life in Christ. Last week he says, you cast off the old remnants and you replace them with what? And that's where we find ourselves today. We're in Colossians chapter 3, about halfway through the chapter at verse 12. And Paul writes, and he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul's already told us what to take off. Last week he said, take off all these things that are hindering you, that are holding you back. And now he says, here's what you should put on. He says, clothe yourself, put on clothing. But before we see what we're supposed to wear, he started with a reminder. He started by saying, you are part of God's family. You are God's chosen people. You are holy. You are set apart. You are dearly loved. Just like I'm part of my dad's family, God says, you belong to me. And Paul wants to remind us of that before we get into anything else. He says, you are part of God's family. You are chosen. You are dearly loved. Now, these words that he uses would have been very familiar to a Jewish audience. And the people in Colossae were a lot of Jewish background. And so they probably would have heard this expression of being God's chosen people and dearly loved. And they probably would have thought of Deuteronomy chapter 7. It's there that it's written, Moses is speaking on God's behalf. And he says, For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all people. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. When God calls the Israelites out of Egypt, if you remember your Old Testament history, God brings the Israelites out and he says, you are my chosen people. I am setting you apart because I love you and I care about you and you are special to me. At the end of last week's sermon, Paul was telling us that in Christ, there are no divisions. There are no Jew and Gentile. There's no this or that. We are all in Christ. And so here he says, no matter where you come from, if you are found in Christ, you are part of God's family now. You are his chosen people. You are loved. You are special. When God looks at you, he loves you like a daughter. He loves you like a son. You are an heir to his kingdom. Oftentimes, we kind of think, what would it look like to come into God's family? And we say, well, God clearly would choose to love me, but within the context of me serving him. You know, because he's saved me, he's rescued me, I'm going to live my life serving God and trying to make it up to him. Kind of like that prodigal son story where the son says, I'm going to go back to my dad and ask him to be a servant because he could never love me like a son. Yet scripture says we are heirs of God. We belong to his family. He looks at us like his beloved children. Romans 8:17, if you want to look it up this week, says you are an heir of God, a co-heir with Christ. You will inherit God's kingdom. Not as a servant, but as a family member. We are dearly loved. And you can reference John 3:16. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. And you say, I am not just like in God's household as a servant, as a member kind of on the fringes. No, I am a beloved child of God. I am an heir of God. And so what we begin to develop here is that as part of God's family, you're going to look like him. That's the whole thought process this morning, is if I'm part of a family, I need to look like that family. Christ is in you. And again, referencing last week, and if you missed last week's sermon, you can check it out online. I keep referencing a little bit here because we're building here. Last week, Paul says, you are going to progressively look more and more like Jesus. This image of Jesus is being renewed each day in you, and you are taking steps to be more and more like Christ. But you have to choose whether you're going to embrace that resemblance or not. You have to say, yes, I want to be more like Jesus, or no, I want to try to distance myself. And here Paul reminds us, as part of the family, we need to also choose to dress like the family. To dress like God. That's exactly what he says. Clothe yourselves in this. He says, because you are part of God's family, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, and love. Now, this morning when I got up and I went into the closet to get dressed this morning, I didn't see any of those things. I went into my closet and there were shoes and shorts and pants and shirts and ties. I didn't wear the tie, sorry, George. There were all those things, but I didn't see compassion and kindness. Obviously, Paul's not talking about physical garments here. He's using an illustration. He says, put on, clothe yourselves in these virtues, in these traits. But what does it look like to do that? How do I know how to put on compassion? What does it look like to wear love? And so we have to look at that list and go, okay, here's what I'm supposed to put on, but what does that look like? Or maybe another way of asking that question is, who do we know who wears these things? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, and love. And what we can realize is that these characteristics are all traits of our Heavenly Father. These are all things that God wears within this illustration. God uses these traits, lives out these traits, and we are called to do them as well, to wear them. In other words, what does God wear? What does God do? How does God deal with you and do that to each other? This is where Paul's leading us. Clothe yourselves in God's clothing. How does God treat you? How does God interact with you? And do that to one another. Because you're part of God's family, look like him. Dress like him. Now, I suspect that each of you have done this at one point or another in your lives, especially as kids. You sneak into mom and dad's closet and you put on their clothes because you want to look grown up. And everyone always looks about the same when they do it. And I think we have a picture up here. This is an illustration. We try to put on mom and dad's clothes and it always looks the same. The pants are too long, the sleeves come over our hands, holding up the pants, trying to keep them up, the shoes we're tripping over. But nevertheless, we've all, I imagine, have dressed in our parents' clothes because you're trying to be like mom and dad. Alan does this now. He tries to put on my shoes and he trips over his feet trying to walk, but he wants to wear daddy's shoes. And this is the idea, I think, of what God has said, or what Paul is saying. Paul says, hey, dress like God. Dress like Jesus. And I can guarantee you it's not going to fit well. When we try to put on these things he calls us to, compassion, humility, love, they're not going to fit well. How many of you can say, I am great with compassion? I am the most compassionate person you'll ever meet. Compassion fits me so well. Not many of us. How many of us say, oh, I'm great with humility? I'm great with forgiveness. It just fits me so well. Yeah, I'm so proud of my humility. That's a great example. But we're supposed to put these things on nevertheless. Paul says, clothe yourselves in these things. It's a process of being more and more like Jesus. It's going to be big, it's going to be baggy, but we're going to grow into these things. And we need to constantly be looking to our Heavenly Father. How does God interact with me? How does God speak to me? How does God treat me? And I need to replicate that. And the more I look to God as my example, the better these things will fit. Paul says, clothe yourselves in compassion. And so we look to our compassionate God. How does God interact with me with compassion? And I was reminded this week as I thought about compassion of the story of Jonah. You recall the story of Jonah. God says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go over there to Nineveh, to these people that you hate, and I want you to tell them to repent. I want you to tell them to turn back to me. And Jonah runs the opposite direction. He runs away, and then the fish eats him. And while he's in the fish, he says, look, God, I didn't go to Nineveh because I knew you were a compassionate God. I knew that if I went there and told them to turn to you, they would, and you have compassion and you would forgive them. I don't like them. I don't want them forgiven. And so I ran away because I knew you were compassionate. and that fish should have swallowed Jonah whole and never let him go. But the fish takes him up to the shore and throws him up, and it's because Jonah says, God, you saved me because you were and you are a compassionate God. It's interesting, if you look at the story of Jonah, it's all about God's compassion. And we often think about the fish and all the fun stuff that happens there, but it's a story of compassion. And we say, this is our God. This is our compassionate God. And the more I understand God's compassion, the more I see God's compassion in my own life, the better compassion will fit when I try to wear it. Paul says, clothe yourself in humility. And so we look to the humility of Jesus. As anytime you mention humility, we often think of Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul says, you want to understand what it looks like to put your own interest aside, to put others before you. Look at Jesus. Jesus, who is God, chose to step into humanity, become a human being, to put on flesh, and was so willing to do this, he even was willing to die in your place. That's an illustration of humility. Paul says, do this in your relationships with each other. Think about what Jesus did for you. And the more we know Jesus, the more we understand the humility that he walked in, we begin to reflect more on our own lives. And humility begins to fit a little better. Paul says, put on patience. And we look to our God who has never-ending patience. And there are never-ending examples of his patience. For a fun study sometime, just read through the Old Testament with this idea of God's patience in mind. The story of the Israelite nation is this constant story of, hey, we're going to go with God. Oh, never mind, we walk away. And God says, it's okay, I'll forgive you, come back. And he has patience with them. And they keep walking away and coming back and walking away and coming back. And God says, my patience is running out, but I have patience with you. I have patience with you. I love you. Come back, come back, come back. And you read through the Old Testament, you say, we have a very patient God. Or look at your own life. How many times have you walked away from God? How many times have you challenged God? How many times have you just given God a hard time, and yet God never stops loving you? He says, I'll be patient with you. I'll be patient with you. We worship a very patient God. And the more that we experience his patience, the more we understand his never-ending love in the midst of that patience, we go, you know what? I can begin to wear patience to look like my Savior. It's not going to fit well, but the more I understand God's patience with me, the more I can wear it well. Paul says, dress in forgiveness. And he actually spells this one out very clearly. He says, forgive like the Lord forgave you. Jesus forgave you. You're supposed to do that to other people. We look at the cross, and we see the lengths that Jesus went to bring us forgiveness. We see the importance of forgiveness, this desire of God to have a restored relationship with us, that he was willing to send Jesus to die on the cross in our place. And we say, if Jesus is willing to forgive me for all of my sins, for all of these things I've done to separate myself from God, why would I not forgive others? And yet when something little happens, when someone makes a passing comment or we get into a little spat, we struggle to forgive. It's not something we do naturally. And so we naturally say, you know, I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to extend grace. I'm really struggling here. And in those moments, we take a step back and say, wait, what did Jesus do for me? Did I do a single thing to earn that forgiveness? And the answer is no. What did Jesus do for me on the cross? How did Jesus bring me forgiveness? Look at the depth of love expressed there. And I say, you know, the more I begin to wrap my mind around Jesus's forgiveness, which is next to impossible to completely understand it, but the more I begin to wrap my mind around it, the more I can wear forgiveness, and the more it begins to fit me. As we cast off our old stuff, the stuff we carried from our old lives, we are called to put on more of God. Our desire is to be more like God. Not to be God, but to express ourselves in his character, to resemble him in our character. And at the end of this list, Paul highlights one specific item we are to wear. And I love that Dot in her prayer this morning was already getting ahead of my sermon, as she always seems to do without knowing what I'm going to preach on. Paul says we need to put on love. If nothing else, if this list looks too challenging, I'm not sure I can wear any of these clothing items. Paul says put on love. Put it on top of all of the others. Put it on if it's the only thing that you can put on. It is the primary thing we are called to clothe ourselves in. Because all of these other characteristics, all the character traits, all of these things that we're called to do, they're not easy. Again, how many of us say, I am just so good with compassion. I am so good with humility. They're not easy things to do. And I think Paul knew that, and he acknowledged that, and he gives us kind of a shortcut. He says, wear a belt. Because he says, love binds them all together. As we seek to dress like our heavenly fathers, we seek to look more like Jesus our Savior, these things will not fit us well. So Paul says, put love over top of all of it. Love's going to bind it together. You get that idea, that picture of, the kid wearing all this big baggy clothes that's just not fitting. The pants are falling down. And what do? They pull it up and you put a belt on it. And you pull it all tight. It may not look right, but at least it's not falling down because you're binding it together. And he says, pull it all together with love. If nothing else, if you want to express God, or express love as God expresses love, that's a great starting point. So I want to look like God. I want to have that family resemblance. I want to dress like God, but I know I can't do it. Paul says, start with love. Love is the clear starting point. And honestly, we see that throughout Scripture. 1 John 4:8, John says, whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. John goes so far to say, if you want to understand who God is, his defining character trait is love. Our God is a God of love. If you say that you know God, but you can't love other people, you really don't know God, he says. Love holds it all together. It binds it all together. If you want to look like God, if you want to live for God, start with love. Jesus would say it this way in John chapter 13, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We look at God as our perfect example of what it means to love. We look at God and we say, this is his defining aspect. He is a God of love. We look to Jesus to see what love looks like in action. And if I want to be known as part of God's family, Jesus says, live a life of love. I command you, I challenge you to love one another, because it's in that moment people will look at you and say, hey, they look a lot like their heavenly Father. This is that moment of living out love. People go, you know, there's something different about them. They look like God. We must put love into all things. Ephesians 5, Paul writes, therefore be imitators of God. Try to look like God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Paul says, we are called to imitate God, to try to be like him, to put on his clothes. And again, let's be clear, they're not going to fit. They're going to be too big. And yet we cast off our old selves because they're dead. We've died with Jesus and we are new. We have new life found in Jesus. He's in us and we are called to look like him. And it's a process. We said this last week. This is a process. None of us can expect to be like Jesus with one step. It's a process. And it's like growing into your clothing. You can put on a big baggy coat, and over the years as you grow up, it begins to fit better. Paul says this is a process, and it all needs to start with love. Love will hold it all together. And just keep in mind, when we talk about love, biblical love here is not the emotion that you and I often think of. When I say the word love, we instantly think of, oh, I love my wife. I love pizza. I love ice cream. I just get so excited and emotional about these things. But when we talk about love in Scripture, many times it's a conscious choice we make. It's not an emotion, but it's a choice we make to extend ourselves beyond what we want. When I think of love, I often think of the things that I want, the things that I like. But biblically, we are commanded to love one another. Well, you can't command an emotion. Biblically, love tends to be a conscious choice. Am I going to choose to walk as God wants me to walk? Am I going to choose to show love and affection and care to people that challenge me? It's a choice we make to look to God as our example and seek His will. How does God want me to walk? And as part of God's family, when we are found in Christ, when we put our identity in Christ, we're called to seek to look more like our spiritual family. I am part of God's family. I want to look like God. And Paul says, Jesus is in you and He's with you and you're going to try to wear all of these things. And he goes on in Colossians here. He says, look, I think I could summarize him. He would say, look, if that sounds too hard, if putting on all of these things, if that's just too much for you at this point in your walk, let me simplify it even more. And we come to Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. He continues from this thought of clothe yourselves in these things. And then he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ, the words of Jesus, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so Paul continues with a second description of what it looks like. What does it mean to be part of God's family? It's a long list again. It's another challenging list. But as I read this list several times this week, trying to figure, okay, how does this help me understand this more? I began to see something. In this long description, there's two simple things he tells us to do. And he repeats those two things three times. So let me summarize it for you. Take it down to the core. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you with gratitude. Do everything in the name of Christ with thanks. In other words, to summarize everything Paul said, let me make it super simple for you. Be defined by two things. Christ in you and thankfulness. That's the core of it. Jesus is in you and live a life of gratitude. He's already said that our life is found in Jesus, that He is in us. He says, let Him be seen. Let His light shine through. He says, in your hearts, in your thoughts, find His peace. Let the peace of Christ be in your heart. Let God's peace, Jesus' peace, be in your thoughts. In your words, find His words. In your actions, whatever you do, let Him be seen. In your thoughts, your words, your actions, find Jesus there. Let Jesus be seen in all that you do, in all that you say, in all that you think, and do it all with gratitude. That's the underlying thing he's saying here. Jesus is in you. Let Him be seen in your thoughts, words, and deeds, and do everything with gratitude. And when I think of gratitude, I instantly went back to the beginning of this letter. Paul started Colossians by telling the church, this is where you were, and this is where you are. This is where God found you, and this is where He brought you. And because of that, we live a life of gratitude. Just to remind you, we can go back to Colossians chapter 1. Paul said, once you were alienated from God. Once you were separated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. This is where you were. You were alienated. You were separated. You were enemies of God. But now you're holy, perfect, free from accusation. You are part of God's family. And when we truly understand what that means, when we truly understand what Jesus has done, we have no other choice but to live a life of love. Not by force, but what other option is available to us? When I understand what Jesus has done, I live for him. I live the life I find in him. And I live it in gratitude. And there are many days that I struggle to be thankful. And I imagine many of you are the same way. And it's in those moments we have to stop and look at this, where were we and where are we? I have the peace of Christ in my heart and my thoughts. I have the message, the words of Jesus in my mouth. I have Jesus in me whenever I do anything. I do it all for Jesus, and I do it with gratitude. For the last several weeks, as we've been going through Colossians, Paul has been building this theme. He keeps using therefore. Well, this, now therefore, because of that, this, and therefore, because of that, this, and he's building this theme, and we're going somewhere here. So I want to just pause and say, okay, where have we been? Where is this whole flow of thought taking us? And it all started, I think, when he said, we have been given fullness in Christ. To remind you, a few weeks ago, he said, there's something special about Jesus. Jesus has brought us to the fullness of God. There's full access to God. That's the starting point, because we needed to understand that there's no way to obtain that access. There's nothing I do to earn favor with God. Paul says, no, you've been brought into this perfect relationship with God because of Jesus. You're there. There's nothing more you need to do. And he says, in that relationship, simply die to yourself. Your old life is gone. You've died to your old ways, and you have a new life in Christ. And in that new life, we look through our spiritual baggage and say, what things do I have to get rid of? What things am I carrying with that I don't need? And Paul told us last week, get rid of those leftovers. Get rid of anything that would hold you back from living for God. And in its place, clothe yourself, dress yourself like your Heavenly Father. Be defined by Jesus in you and overflow with gratitude. In your thoughts, words, and deeds, be thankful. As your kids got older, or are getting older, they began to take on independence. They started choosing what they were going to do, where they were going to go, what they were going to wear. And how many of you have looked at your teenager and said, you are not leaving the house wearing that? This side of the room, apparently, not this side of the room. Okay, there are us. We look at our kids and say, no, you are part of my family, and you're not leaving the house in that. That is not acceptable clothing. We are called to put on the attributes of our new family when we're found in Christ. We are called to dress in God's clothing. And they're going to be big, and they're going to be baggy. But each day when we get up to leave the house, what does your heavenly dad say about your clothing? As you get ready to leave the house and you put on these character traits to be defined by that day, does God look at you and go, if you're part of my family, it's probably not the best thing to wear? I'm not sure that I would leave the house dressed in those attributes. Or does God look at you and say, that looks pretty good? As you go about your day-to-day, that's probably a good thing to wear. Yeah, it's kind of baggy. That compassion thing doesn't really fit well, but that's a good choice. When you're out in public, when you're with your coworkers, when you're hanging out with your friends, when you're talking to your neighbors, or even when you're behind closed doors with your spouse, your family, the in-laws, anytime people look at you, who do they say you look like? Because the interesting thing is that first question we ask of all newborn infants, who do they look like? That question is asked of you every day of your life. But eventually we begin to ask it beyond just your birth parents. We say, who do you look like? In Christ, you are part of God's chosen people. You are part of his family. Do you look like him? Every day when you leave the house, are you putting on God's compassion, his humility, his love, his tolerance? Are you trying to fill God's shoes in the idea that people will see God when they look at you? Paul says you are found new in Christ, and your calling is to let people see God when they look at you. And when they see God in you, to share him with them, to let them know that they can be part of his family. So who do you look like? Who are you going to look like tomorrow when you head out to work? Do you let Jesus be seen in all that you do? Let's pray. God, this morning we all did the same thing. We all got up. We all got dressed. And yet sometimes we need to stop and realize that there is more than to getting dressed than just physical clothing. That you call us to wear these attributes that you wear. These attributes that you have perfected. And God, some of us really struggle. In fact, I would imagine all of us really struggle with most of these attributes. All of these attributes. And so God, I pray this week as we walk as a chosen people, as part of your royal family, as heirs to your kingdom, that you would help us to look at your attributes. That we would set our eyes on Jesus, and we'd set our eyes on you as our Heavenly Father, and we would try to emulate the way you treat us. That we would love one another as you have loved us. And then when people look at us, they would say, wow, they really look like their dad. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.